to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you live for the next 2 hours on this. What is the date today? Oh, we're almost halfway through March. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. Yeah, almost halfway through. The 14th of March, 2006. Today's program, I've got Alan Quist on the program, hopefully for the whole 2 hours. Do we have him for the 2 hours, Ms. Producer there? We do? Oh, goody, goody gumdrop. Because this guy's got a lot of information, and something that I've been wanting to get a greater grasp of and understanding is how the Fed is moving into the public schools and exactly how are they doing it. And Alan is professor of political science at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota, almost said Mississippi. He's a widely recognized writer and speaker in Minnesota and throughout the United States. He's the author of 5 books, the most recent being America's Schools, The Battleground for Freedom. He authored the best-selling book Fed Ed. I like that. Fed Ed, The New Federal Curriculum and How It's Enforced, which sold many thousands of copies. He explains that the federal No Child Left Behind legislation and programs such as International Baccalaureate. He describes the math and reading wars, and he discusses the effects of international agreements on our schools. That's right, folks. We're all just going to be little corporate cookie-cutter people for the global elite. You wonder, if you really want to know why Johnny can't read, they don't want thinking people there. They want people to take orders, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to be a cookie-cutter person of the global governance scheme. And we will get into that in depth in these upcoming hours here. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls. And I didn't get a chance to ask Alan, but if his organization has any PSAs at all, I'd be happy, more than happy, to run them on this network. That's what this network is for, ladies and gentlemen. This is not an exercise in radio fiefdom. You know, my real quest is to have broadcasts such as these, and I don't even care if it's me, it could be anybody else on this network, on major radio stations across the country, letting people know what they're not hearing on the controlled, corporatized, government handmaidens. Oh, that's right, we call them the American media. And I don't care whether it's print or electronic media, that's the whole exercise of doing what we do. Because the fact is, we do what the other guys won't. Otherwise, this would kind of be a redundant exercise now, wouldn't it? So we'll take the break here in a couple of seconds. We'll come back on the other side with Alan Quist. And I'm very happy to have this guy. He's been around a little while. I haven't had time here to read all of his bio on air, but I have read it. And he seems like a very qualified individual. And we'll get into his information and what's going on in the schools. And something I really want to find out, which I never got my mind wrapped around all that much, was, not only the baccalaureate thing, but how they've been sneaking their way into schools. And, well, it's the public pool system, folks. What else can I say? We'll be right back.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
Many years ago, well, let me see, it's been about, to be accurate, it's been about 31 years since the Rockefeller Foundation funded the, this was an amazing thing that they did, the New States Constitution. And I know that many people who listen to this broadcast are familiar with it. And, well, it mirrored and borrowed heavily from our declarations, and more importantly, our Constitution. And as you, to the untrained eye, to the persons that were not familiar with our Constitution that would read the New States Constitution, would automatically assume that, oh, well, this is the United States government. This is the way they do business. This is the way they are supposed to work. Well, as it turns out, it was a program that was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. It took them 10 years to do it, and I think to the tune of $10 million. And what they came up with was a very carefully crafted United Nations document that mirrored the United States Constitution, but there was one difference. There weren't inalienable rights. They were rights that are granted to you by the United Nations. And what we're going to be talking about in these next 2 hours has a lot to do with well, non-governmental organizations, UN agendas that are quietly being slipped into our public school systems. And ironically enough, and folks, I know you're not going to have a hard time believing this one. That's right. much of this is being funded by the federal government. We'll talk today with Alan Quist, the professor of political science at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Good afternoon, Mr. Quist. How are you?
Well, hi, John. I'm doing very well, and thank you for having me on your show. It's a privilege.
Well, you have that backwards. It's always a privilege to me to be afforded the opportunity to bring people up like yourself so other people can hear exactly what you're involved in and what your concerns are, and more importantly, what you're trying to do about it. Now, I've read your bio. I have not talked to you prior to the program, and I just want to get a feel for how you got into this. How do you go from a professor of political science to writing books about our federal government's involvement in public education and so on and so forth?
Well, I tell you, John, it's been quite a journey, and I'll make it real short because I'm sure you have other things you want to cover, too. But anyway, I was a college prof for 17 years at Bethany and Mankato. Then in 1981, a group of citizens here in this area talked me into running for the legislature, and they wanted a candidate. They thought I would meet their bill, and so I finally said, okay. So I ran, was elected to the legislature. And then I thought what I could do is teach in the fall, and I'd be in the legislature in the spring. We just have a part-time legislature here. But when I got into the legislature, I began to realize how bad it was in government. So I, for that time, resigned my teaching position, although I later went back some years later, so that I could concentrate on the legislative process. And I was on the education committee, and I thought I knew something about politics, but looking at the beast from the inside gives you a totally different perspective. So because my field has been education all my life, and by the way, my dad was a high school principal, my mom was a teacher, and I come from an education family, I, of course, took a lot of interest in the education issues in the legislature. Well, towards the end of my term there, I spent 3 years, and then I had enough. Towards the end of that time, the federal government started in a big way begin to call the shots in education policy, and the federal government was leading up to what became Goals 2000, School to Work, and so on in the early 90s. And so as a prof, I was not only a teacher, I was a researcher, and so I started doing research into what was happening. And I went to the Legislative Reference Library, the library right in the building, in the House of Representatives. The librarians loved me because I was the only legislator that did any research. So I made their job. And I started getting hold of the documents, the official documents between the state and the feds. And I began to realize that what was happening to education at the state level was being almost totally directed from Washington. Nobody knew that, John. I mean, in our state, none of the legislators, oh gosh, some of them did, I mean, the left-wingers, but none of the Republicans, as far as I could tell, none of the conservatives, nor the governor, nor the people. So I started writing about that and continued to do research. And as I continued to do research now in what was happening in Washington, I very quickly found out that what was happening in Washington was being primarily dictated by international agreements to which the United States was party. And the first of these took place in 1990. It was called the World Declaration on Education for All. President George Bush Sr. Signed us on, and it essentially spelled out what the education program in every country of the world should be. And what we had here was the beginning of the creation of an international system of education. And the public to this day knows almost nothing about it. Most legislators, believe it or not, are totally ignorant that this is what's happening because they don't do their research. They don't read the documents. And so anyway, that's how I got into it. And I began to write, and in the last 6 or 7 years, I've written 3 books, started with Minnesota, then I went to the national, and then my last one, America's Schools, is really primarily on the international education system. And that's what's being set up in our country. I don't think our president realizes that this is what's happening. But anyway, that's the big picture of what we're dealing with. And I'm convinced that if the public can be informed on what's happening, then we can turn it around. So that's what my life is dedicated to, letting the public know what's taking place.
Well, and we parallel in our quest here, and my job is to have people like yourself be able to get on air to explain to people exactly what your endeavors has turned up. And a little bit, first off, and let me not be remiss here, your website is edwatch.org.
That's correct.
And you've got some pretty interesting board members. Even Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America is on your board.
That's correct. Larry Pratt, we work closely with Larry Pratt, and Larry Pratt understands the big picture. And he understands that, for instance, the new education system driven from the UN wants to eliminate the right to bear arms. And to his credit, he sees that clearly, and he recognizes that his organization, Gun Owners of America, needs to support what we're doing. Otherwise, he's giving up the ship. And one of the things that we haven't been able to do yet is to convince National Right to Life and Focus on the Family and groups like that, that they are giving up the ship, too, because they are sitting back while our children are being indoctrinated into all the building blocks, all the values, the worldview that is totally contrary to what National Right to Life and Focus on the Family wants. So Larry Pratt is a real visionary. We have to get some other groups to follow his very good lead.
You caught me in the middle of taking a drink of coffee. Sorry about that. Your website, now, I wanted to ask you, because we'll do PSAs for groups. I think we do PSAs for Gun Owners of America. They've got, I think, almost 250,000 members out there, because people started to figure out that, and this is a side point, but the National Rifle Association, being a political lobby group as they are, they love to play politics, and, well, we all know what the art of politicking is, and that's the art of compromise. So many people have compromised on their membership through the NRA, and thus we have groups like Gun Owners of America, and I wished that they had the amount of members that the National Rifle Association has in its membership. But, you know, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I mean, I used to run into these guys all the time that thought that NRA was it and only it, and gee, I haven't heard a peep out of the NRA in almost a year, and I'm sure that there's issues that they should have been publicly speaking on, but have chosen not to. But it's good that you have people like that. You've got Mike Chapman on your board, David Thompson. You got also a lobbyist up there, Michael Osterlink. So you've got a good group of people there. But the main point is that once you get this information compiled, what do you do with it? And this is why we run a network. And I wish that we were in the top 25 markets today, because these people need to hear what you have to say, because they're not being told on the mainstream medias, even on public broadcasting radio, that people think this is a kind of eclectic type of think tank, that people just come up and have these dry discussions about policy and economics and government and so on and so forth. Well, public broadcasting, folks, is not the place you need to go get the truth. All you have is the spinmeisters up there, the same way that you have it on mainstream media. So it's important that we have this format in which to do this. Now, you also ran for governor up there, didn't you?
That's correct. In the early 90s, we had a so-called Republican governor who was Republican in name only. We call them rhinos nationwide. And and he was on the wrong side of everything. And so consequently, the Republican Party that I and others had spent a lot of our lives building was absolutely disintegrating because of this governor that we had who was not a real Republican. And so I and others tried to find a candidate to run against him who was honestly a Republican. We couldn't find any, and so I stepped up to the plate and became the candidate. Received the endorsement, that is the support of the Republican Party in Minnesota. But in Minnesota, we've got kind of a hybrid system because the support of the party takes place, the endorsement, we call it, takes place in the spring, and then we also have a primary in the fall. Well, of course, we got to the primary. The Democrats didn't have a candidate, there was no contest. And so the Democrats in Minnesota can cross over in the primary. We've got an open primary. And so in the fall, the Democrats all voted for the so-called Republican. Consequently, he won the primary.
Well, that makes sense. If you've got a rhino up there, people are discovering it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. They're all so far away from the Constitution that you have to pump air and sunshine into them.
That's exactly right.
All right, we got to take the break. We'll be back with my guest today, Alan Quist, author of many books, and we'll get into all of the subject matter and time allotted that we can. We'll do that right after this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
We are back. By the way, I wanted to ask you, Alan, when was Jesse Ventura governor of Minnesota?
He was governor in the latter part of the century. Let's see, it would have been from 98 to 2002. One term, and to his credit, he was smart enough to not run again. We always called him Jesse. The mind is a terrible thing to waste, Ventura.
Ventura, yeah. And, well, it's interesting that you Minnesota politically is an interesting state. There's a lot of what I call Marxist water carriers, and they don't even know that they are, that they're backing a lot of different political ideologies, and they don't equate it with Marxism, or if you will, boil it down to communism. They just don't get it. And part of the problem that I see, and since this is your area of expertise, the public fool system, as I call it, what they've been doing is breeding our children, the knowledge out of our children's minds, going to the public school systems. When I was in school, we learned about the Constitution. We talked about it. This was a public school. This wasn't a private school. This wasn't homeschooled. We actually did the Pledge of Allegiance. We actually had the shop teacher with the big barber stropping thing there that you got out of hand. Well, you were punished, and we learned such things as the Constitution. And believe it or not, and this is going back to the 60s, I got a pretty good education coming out of the public school system. But what are these children to do today? They're being pumped full of the Globo citizen stuff, and they have nothing in which to compare it with, and that would be our own founding documents and the intent of the framers for a free and a free nation.
Well, that's really true. One of the best constitutional scholars in the country is an individual by the name of John Eidsmoll, who happens to be a friend of mine, and he has taught in a number of different law schools and has often been voted the favorite law prof, not surprisingly, in the law schools. But he says that today there are some law schools that tell their students, their law school students, that it's dangerous to read the Constitution and that they're better off not reading it because they might be misled. So that's how bad it is in the education system.
Misled.
Yeah, misled.
Children that are born in this country, supposedly in a constitutional republic, would be confused and confounded by being taught the founding documents.
Even at the law school level. And, you know, we have to recognize that the left really does not believe in freedom of speech and really does not believe that people can make up their minds for themselves. They believe in indoctrination, and that's what the new federal education system is all about. It's about indoctrinating our kids into the values, the worldview, and the like of the one-worlders, of the globalists. And you're right, the Constitution is not taught in terms of what it means. The Declaration of Independence is not taught. Patriotism is not taught. The basic values of our country are all swept under the rug, and they are replaced with the building blocks, the documents, the principles, and the religion of the globalists. So that's what's happening, and it's happening in a lot of different ways.
Well, and George Herbert Walker Bush, well, many people thought that he was a conservative Republican. You know, let's not just disparage, because the problem that people are locked into right now, and this is how you keep the masses pitted against each other over social or political issues, and that keeps everybody busy fighting on that front. In the meantime, who was it? Wallace, 45, 50 years ago, said that there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between a Democrat or a Republican. And what I see has happened, and there are still some old-school Democrats out there still alive, that they'll tell you that I have no idea what the Democratic Party stands for, and better still, they don't even know what the Republicans stand for. So when you say Republican or conservative, and you put that in the same sentence nowadays, it does not compute.
Well, in education policy, what we observe first in Minnesota and then nationally is that, well, let's take the state level first. If you have a Republican governor, and we had this rhino Republican in name only, who was pushing all the federal education stuff, Goals 2000 and all those things. And in that case, if you have a Republican governor, even the good Republican legislators find it very, very difficult to oppose what's happening. Because they are told that, well, now, hey, you've got this Republican governor, you really have to go along. The same thing is happening at the national level. You've got a Republican president promoting a terrible education policy. No Child Left Behind is awful policy. International baccalaureate is terrible policy, and his new education initiative has $75 million approximately to subsidize, promote, give schools money if they will just adopt this radical international baccalaureate program. That's part of his plan. Consequently, the good legislators, and there are some very, very good ones, find it very difficult to oppose it because, again, oh, this is a Republican governor, or a Republican president, you've got to chime in. If it was a Bill Clinton, they would be a lot more quick to oppose what's happening.
Well, and I still can't figure out the political mindset here because a lot of people are still in the mindset of straight party ticket voting. When they go into a voting booth, they just rack up a Republican or a Democrat, just pull the handle, and there you go. People don't even look at issues anymore. They have no understanding of the government. They don't know where it's been, where it is now, or better still, where it's going tomorrow. We got to go to break. We'll be right back with Alan Quist.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statmiller, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out, and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Alan Quist, I want to first go into the No Child Left Behind. I have been waiting with bated breath to talk to somebody to explain this because I couldn't quite get my mind wrapped around it. I didn't have the time to do the proper research into it. What is No Child Left Behind and why is it so bad?
Well, for starters, it's the way that the United States is implementing the 2000 World International, that is, Education Agreement, which is known as the DACAR Action Plan. And there isn't one person in 1,000, maybe in 10,000 in our country who knows that that's the case. But Bill Clinton in 2000, before he left office, signed the United States on to this international agreement. And all of the basic guidelines or parameters of No Child Left Behind are in this international agreement. So that's number one, that this is how the United States is implementing this international agreement. And part of what we agreed to, John, is we agreed that UNESCO, which is a branch of the UN, would monitor our compliance with this international agreement. So every year, United States sends reports into UNESCO on how we are doing in meeting the agreements. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to know about it is that it along with Goals 2000, was sold to the legislators as being voluntary. And this was the mantra. Well, don't worry about voting for this. This is voluntary. States can participate if they want to. And what the legislators didn't know back in 1994 when Goals 2000 passed and then No Child Left Behind is a follow-up, what they didn't know is that another bill, in this case the funding bill, said, oh, by the way, states, if you don't participate, you are going to lose all your federal education money. Which is about 8% of the money that's used nationwide to fund K-12 education. So if you ask people a question, well, why does every state participate in the federal program? The reason is because if they don't, they're going to lose their federal education money. So that's what voluntary means. Okay, so that's the second thing. It essentially has been forced on all the states through this lever. By the way, in 94, there was one governor, George Allen of Virginia, who strenuously resisted, and he's the only governor that really fought the fight to try to stay out of the federal program. He eventually was forced in, and I don't know all that happened to force him in, except I know Virginia was going to lose all its federal education money. But he is out there as a prospective candidate for president, and I think the public needs to know that here is the one person who at least made an effort to stay out. Okay, the third thing that about No Child Left Behind is that it requires every state to test its students at certain points in two subjects, math and reading. And so every year, every public school in the country, because all 50 states are in, give these tests in certain grades. And now the president wants to expand this up into high school in 11th grade besides, so he wants to continue to expand this. And again, look, it's in math and science, and this is right out of the international agreement. The international agreement says the countries have to monitor their students' progress in math and reading. Excuse me, have to monitor students' progress in math and reading. So the reason we're doing that is because it's the international agreement. Another thing, and this is one of the most important things about No Child Left Behind, is that it requires every state to have what are called standards. And these standards are a curriculum. That is, it requires every state at the state level to specify what must be taught in the schools. And as a consequence of this, what states generally do is they look to the federal government because the federal government has a set of standards, which is a curriculum. Standards, by the way, have nothing to do here with achievement. It's all content. What do you have to teach? So that's what my first book is about. It's called FedEd, the New Federal Curriculum and How It's Enforced. There is a de facto federally established curriculum that is set of statements, and it's 17 books. It's like an encyclopedia that dictate here's what you have to teach in all of your classes and all the subjects at every grade level things like that. And so you have No Child Left Behind being used to impose this federal curriculum on all the schools. And this federal curriculum, not surprisingly, does not teach the Constitution, John. It does not teach the Bill of Rights, does not teach the Declaration of Independence accurately. I mean, it teaches some things about them, but it doesn't teach what they really are. It does not teach American citizenship. It promotes global citizenship. Postmodern way of thinking, 200 years ago, then was then, now is now, we know better, and so we have to recreate government for the new age and for the new world order. Last thing about No Child Left Behind is that everything in the bill is targeted to the lowest achieving students. There is nothing in it for your average student, and there's nothing in it for advanced students. Everything is targeted to the low achieving students. Why is that? The reason is the international agreement is totally targeted to the low achievers. And so the question is, can you manage the tide so that you only raise the low boats and don't raise the medium-sized boats and the big ones? And, of course, you can't do that. But the goal of No Child Left Behind is not to raise the academic achievement of all students. The goal of No Child Left Behind is to close the gaps. That's why the president is always talking about closing the gaps. Well, closing the gaps is a Marxist concept. And if, let's say you gave our American citizens the choice, do you want an education program initiative that intends to raise the achievement of all the students, or do you want an education initiative that is aimed at raising the achievement only of your lowest students? Of course the public's going to say, we want all the students to have better achievement. That's not what No Child Left Behind does. It's totally closing the gaps. And if your goal is closing the gaps, if you raise the scores of your better students, then you've made your problem worse. And so there's a built-in incentive to lower the achievement of your best students and your average students in order to close the gap with your underachievers. So in a nutshell, that's what it is. It is terrible policy. I don't think there's a state in the union that would participate if they weren't being forced to by the threat that they'll lose their federal education money if they don't.
Well, and you're saying 8%. Is that across the board? That's what the public schools and each individual state is receiving, 8% of their...
That's the average, John, nationwide, 8%. In some states, it's a little more, some a little less, some schools a little more, depending on a variety of factors. But but that's the average, 8%.
Now, and now I can imagine why, because even when I was in school, I had a couple of subjects that were my favorites. Math was not one of them. Reading and English I did fairly well in. Science I excelled in. There were a couple subject matters that that I really enjoyed, and I had fairly good teachers teaching the subject matter. But as any child will do, they get bored, they get restless. But if you take the 60s school system versus the 21st century school system, where they're trying to teach down to the lowest common denomination, what are these middle-achieving students and the higher-achieving students going to do? Well, they're going to get bored real, real fast because they're a lot smarter than that. So what do we do with those children? Well, they're inattentive. They're ADD. They're this. They're that. So let's pump them up on drugs. You know, if their mind wanders or they're too restless or they don't seem to be in control or whatever. I mean, there's a variety of reasons why children act out. But I've never seen children really act out when they're focused and riveted on something. They're in the zone or the subject matter and they're participatory. But now we seem to have a lot of restless children in these school systems. Well, they've come up with a magical program. Let's just drug them up, drug them into compliance, which, by the way, the school systems and the state get money for every time that they get one of your children on these mind-altering psychotropic drugs, they get money for.
That's exactly right. And 10% of all the boys in the K-12 schools in our country are in Ritalin. Okay, 10%. Now, you tell me that 10% of the boys are ADHD. I mean, that's absolute nonsense. And for you listeners out there that have followed some of the stories that have been, for instance, on the Drudge Report and so on in the last couple of days, a day or two ago there was a story about the military and the young men especially who are eligible to serve in the military. And the military's guidelines say if you're on Ritalin, you are not eligible. We do not want you. And so this is one of the consequences. 10% of the young men aren't eligible for the military because they've been drugged all their lives, all the way through school. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Well, but who seems to be guiding this ship here? I mean, has somebody gone asleep at the switch? Or, Alan, I'll let you be a little conspiratorial here. Do you think this is an ongoing program that's very carefully being shepherded through the obstacles and the oppositions?
Well, there are a lot of special interests here that are involved. And when it comes to Ritalin, for instance, the drug companies, the pharmaceuticals, make huge profits on all of the drugs that are being used in the schools. So you have that. You also have an awful lot of people that are ideologically driven, the Ted Kennedys of the world, if I might, the Hillary Clintons of the world. I mean, they want schools to teach the ideology of the left, and that's going on, too. Then you have the global education system which does not want the United States to be successful, and certainly does not want us to have the best engineers and the best scientists. And so there's a lot of incentive there.
But wait a minute. I just heard Herbert or George Walker last week say that, well, we need more engineers and we need more scientists. We didn't seem to have a lack of these people. We had good learning institutions, higher learning institutions, good universities, you know, minus the political claptrapping. But we, Alan, see if you can help me out here in the educational field, because I seem to remember we started this country. We didn't really have an integrated school system, an integrated public school system. We had one-room schoolhouses. We were teaching kids out of McGuffey readers, and I've got a set of those at home, and I've looked through them frequently. And you want to talk about the basics of education, that's what it was. But we were able out of that minuscule, and a lot of people would argue, you know, ineffectual school type of system, we were able to pioneer one of the best countries on the face of the planet ever in recorded history. How is this possible coming from such a scant educational program? How were we able inside of less than 200 years to build the most envied country on the face of the planet?
Absolutely. And if you look, you know, the one-room schools, by the way, and there still are a few around. South Dakota has a few, for instance. The achievement of kids in one-room schools is far and away superior to what it is in the big schools. Then you take the home schools. You know, I don't care what test it is, ACT, SAT, Stanford, the homeschool kids score head and shoulders above kids in public schools and private. And, of course, private school kids do a lot better than what's in public and do it on half the cost. So education isn't about big buildings, and it's certainly not about the federal government initiatives, and it's certainly not about the UN. It's about teaching the basics of reading, of the sciences, of math. It's teaching the basic values of our country. I will say very bluntly, American schools need to be teaching the principles that made America great. And those principles are stated very well in the Declaration of Independence, number one, and in the Constitution, number two. If you teach those things, kids will be successful. And, of course, that's what we've gotten away from. And parents need to start asserting themselves into their kids' education. Parents just assume their kids are getting a good education. I tell you, folks, they are not, for the most part. They are getting a terrible education, and you parents better find out what's going on in the schools and put together a good program for your child.
Well, and I've repeated this so often, I'm tired of hearing myself say it. I've done everything that I possibly could to get people involved. If your children are in public school, you know, when was the last time you went to a parent-teacher association meeting? When was the last time that you talked to your children's teachers at school? When was the last time you checked their curriculum? When was the last time that you even sat in on one of your child's classes? What the public school system anymore is being used for is a dumping ground and a babysitting institution for their children. They know that they're gone 6-7 hours a day. You know, maybe we need a little after school if the child is young enough. Maybe we make arrangements to have the child picked up because, well, now both parents, in order to make any sort of income whatsoever, both have to be in a workplace with a shrinking job market. But most people, I've implored them, I've begged them, please, go find out. It's one thing to tell your listeners, hey, get your kid out of the public schools, homeschool, do whatever you have to do. One of the things that the UN hates is this at-home teaching programs. You know, the last thing that they want are the parents and the children to have a lasting bond. And I can't think of anything better than to be in a process. You know, we all, our cheese slides off our crackers memory-wise in a lot of different fields, but people that have taken up the public, or given up the public school system and decided to homeschool, what the parents started to discover is, yeah, well, it helped me because there's a lot of things I forgot about, but what it did with my children is bond me in a common cause for education, and it's no doubt. I mean, for how many years running did homeschoolers just absolutely wow them at the National Spelling Bees? These kids were spelling words that I couldn't even pronounce.
And of course, that's true in all subjects. And so, John, what our organization, EdWatch, is convinced we have to do is that we have to get information out to citizens, to parents, and that if they have the information, they will then take some action. And this is what we've been working on in Minnesota. We started as a Minnesota group. We've since become a national organization. But we started targeting things here in Minnesota about 5 years ago, telling parents how bad things were in the schools. And we focused on the title of my book, The Federal Curriculum. We focused on the content of the subjects as dictated by the federal government. And we had enough success so that in 2002, the Republican candidate for governor, Tim Pawlenty, now the governor, ran on three major issues, and one of the three was our issue of throwing the federal curriculum out of the schools. That's how much success we had in letting the public know what was happening. And this Republican governor in Minnesota won by a landslide. And in Minnesota, that doesn't happen. Number one, it's very difficult for Republicans to win at all. And number two, they don't win by landslide. He won by a landslide. We elected some state senators and representatives on our issue. We voted some bad people out. And Minnesota became the first state to throw out the federal curriculum. And the other 49 states need to get with it.
All right. We've got to take the break. We'll come back. We'll take some of your phone calls. And then I want to get into the International Baccalaureate. How the globalists want the mind of your children. We'll be right back.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Back here, there we go. We had a little momentary glitch there. Let's go to John in California. Thanks for holding, John.
Yeah, John Stadmiller, good show, good subject matter, and as far as your guest, well, we'll see. Professor Quist, I've been reading bits and pieces of Charlotte Iserbeit's book that she published a couple of years ago entitled The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, and a lot of the detail that she goes into, I hear a lot of the same thing coming from you, especially regarding, you know, the George Bush Department of Education programs and all the problems with the federal government intrusion into the state's educational system, and to just get right to the point, the difference I see between Charlotte Iserbeit and you, though, Professor, is that I don't think that Charlotte Iserbeit is a phony, but I do think you are. Allow me to explain why, and then you can explain why you're not.
First, let me just say this. I would love to have you point anything out that I have said is inaccurate or that I'm phony about. So go for it.
Okay.
Be my guest.
Okay, fair enough.
I love it.
Fair enough, sir. Okay. Well, first of all.
Well, I bet you're a big head of hit at parties, John. Jeez.
Wait a minute, John.
Go ahead,
is that why I don't get invited anymore?
You called the guy out, basically called him a liar. I mean, why did you automatically make that assumption?
Well, it's not the first time that he and I have talked to each other.
Ah, okay.
Okay. So you may have missed one little thing, John, and no offense to you, John. It was very subtle. But Professor Quist, all through his discussion with you, has really been avoiding calling a spade as far as George W. Bush. As a matter of fact, he said that that George Bush probably doesn't know what's going on with all these federal programs involved in education. That would have been your first clue. But 2 years ago, before the November 2004 election, Professor Quist came out to a political seminar in Southern California, and he was given an hour-long presentation, and of the hour-long presentation, he spent 15 minutes lambasting and castigating this United Nations group called UNESCO, which you mentioned, and with much justification, since I'm a little bit familiar with the UNESCO also. And then toward the end of his seminar, I was just, and he's telling about all these problems with the federal education, how they're, you know, I think he's doing in Minnesota to try to get around these problems. And then he just floored me and a whole bunch of other people when he said, and by the way, I am voting for George Bush in November. And I said, wait a minute. I went up to a speaker's table and I asked him, I said, wait a minute. If the UNESCO is so bad and St. Ronald Reagan got us out of UNESCO back in the 80s, what's the big problem? Well, then he confided to me. He didn't say it in his presentation. He says, well, George Bush got us back in 2002. I said, yeah, I know that. So why the hell are you voting for him?
Hey, John.
I'm sorry for the word hell.
Yeah, well, let me respond.
Go ahead.
I remember that conversation very, very well.
I even sent an email.
And you know, you and I maybe obviously are going to disagree on this, but I'll tell you, I believe that politics is the art of the possible. And if you compare George Bush and John Kerry, George Bush is the lesser of evils.
That's a false choice. That's
well,
the thing that we, all of us, sir, excuse me, you can't get away with that.
Yeah, well, that's
choices,
the truth.
There are better choices.
That's the way it is.
No, it is not the way it is, sir.
Yeah, it is.
You're absolutely wrong. And if you would get out of the education system, you would know there are many more problems with George Bush than just his educational.
Hey, I know George Bush's problems better than anybody, but there is a lesser of evils in politics,
okay,
and that's
well,
sometimes
okay,
the road you have to go.
Hold on. You guys are going to talk right through to the break here. John, I'll tell you what. Just hang on a second here. We'll take the break, top of the hour. You international listeners out there, I hope you're catching all of this. 5.050, switching over from the 11915. We'll continue this conversation after the top of the hour break. We'll be right back, folks. Stay there.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.